Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. We come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. Coming up this hour here on the program, Cole Kublick's going to join us from the SEC Network. We'll talk about the decision by the College Football Playoff Committee, as well as a little bowl preview. And, of course, the ongoing coaching carousel. What will Tennessee do? What will Florida State do? I think that Nebraska nailed it with Scott Frost. Nebraska has not been an overly desirable place to be a head coach. They're not usually the type of program these days that can nail down one of the top prospects, the top up-and-coming, most desired assistant coaches or young coaches in America. But they got their hometown boy in Scott Frost, who did a tremendous job this year at UCF. You got to realize, 2 years ago, UCF was 0-12. This year, they're 12-0. Frost did an amazing job. And even though I could probably do without the tears on Saturday, Nebraska really nailed it. And I've been to Nebraska before for some games, and I know how good that fan base is, having lived in the Midwest, and I know that this is a slam dunk. We'll see if it works, but it automatically makes that side of the Big Ten more interesting, which is a good thing. And I think for Nebraska, finally feels like the right guy. It's been a long time, really since Tom Osborne left, that it's felt like the right guy. That's the right guy. Everything else was hoping to be the right guy. Bo Pelini never quite felt like the right guy. Bill Callahan was a nightmare. Mike Riley, even though he gave us one of our favorite drops.
That's very good, Damon.
People were hoping was the right guy. And this one, you feel like Scott Frost is the right guy. I get A&M going after Jimbo Fisher. Jimbo has had a lot of success, including winning a national championship and made Florida State champions again. I don't think Texas A&M is a better job than Florida State. I think it's a better paying job than Florida State. And I'm sick and tired of people telling me that Jimbo Fisher had to leave because administration wasn't on the same page as him. He was always at odds with administration. I mean, I'd love to be at odds with an employer that every time I went back and asked for something, they gave it to me. Every year, Jimbo Fisher is looking at other jobs, and every year he comes back and says, well, X offered me this, and his school said, okay. Well, this school offered me this, FSU said, okay. Every year this song and dance happens. Wouldn't you love to have a boss? Wouldn't you love to have an employer when you go out and say, well, that company does it this way. Well, that department has this. Well, I can make this much there. And your boss going, okay, we'll match it. You got it. It's like bringing in the car sticker sale from a different lot and that place saying, we'll match it. We'll match any price. We'll match it. That's what FSU did for years for Jimbo Fisher. Oh, but I didn't see eye to eye with administration. They didn't give me the support I wanted. What more support do you need than every offseason squeezing them for more money, yourself, more guarantees, and more money for your staff? What else do you need? Look, A&M got a good coach. I mean, Jimbo Fisher is a good coach, this year notwithstanding, because it was just a disaster after DeAndre Francois went down. But let me also say this about Jimbo Fisher. DeAndre Francois went down, and he had one foot out the door. He didn't keep that thing together. He didn't sew that thing together. He didn't drag them to the end. No, he left with a game to go in the regular season and danced with other jobs all season long. And when it went south, didn't keep it together at FSU. So I don't have a lot of respect for that. It's a Trash Tuesday, so hit us up on the Trashings at either 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Speaking of coaches, Marvin Lewis last night once again loses to an in-division rival at home in primetime, and the Bengals are not going to make the postseason. And last night just kind of felt like the Marvin Lewis trifecta. If there was a checklist for a Marvin Lewis hat trick, it would be number one, way commit more penalties for more penalty yardage than your opponent. Got it. Then have at least a 2-touchdown lead and blow it and lose. Got it. And finally, make sure it's at home against a division rival in prime time. I mean, that right there was the most Bengals of all time. Cincinnati had a 17-0 lead this game and then decided, we will try to draw a flag and commit stupid penalties on every play after this. We will give Ben Roethlisberger all of the time in the world in the fourth quarter. We won't be able to cover anybody. We will ourselves make mistakes. We won't move the football, and we'll give the Steelers chance after chance after chance to keep scoring on us, and we will lose in crushing fashion. I mean, if there is ever a Marvin Lewis football life, it should just be that game. Here was Marvin Lewis's career, right here. Let's penalize ourselves into oblivion, keep giving the opponent first downs, blow a 3-score lead, and do it at home in a crucial spot heading towards the postseason, taking us out of playoff contention. I've said this for 2 years. I'll say it for three. The Cincinnati Bengals should have removed Marvin Lewis from that head coaching job 3 years ago. And they should have moved him into the front office, because the Cincinnati Bengals have actually drafted pretty well. They don't sign big-time free agents, and they've been consistently a playoff contender for a long time under Marvin Lewis. They're never an embarrassment. They're never 2-14. They're never the Browns. They're never 0-16. Move Marvin Lewis into a personnel role in the front office and get new blood on the sidelines. And they have allowed assistant after assistant to move on. Could you imagine if the Bengals had promoted Mike Zimmer to head coach instead of letting him go to Minnesota and had Mike Zimmer on the sidelines and Marvin Lewis in the front office? Great. Perfect. You love it. They have allowed all these guys a brain drain, and now they're stuck with only Marvin. They need to make a change. But Paul Brown's, well, the Brown family. Paul Brown's legacy is there, but the Brown family doesn't want to pay. Mike Brown doesn't like to pay any money for anything. And so you can never assume they're going to do what's right. They're going to do what's most financially viable. Eddie's in Myrtle Beach, 100.3, listening to CBS Sports Radio. Eddie, who are you trashing?
DA, I am trashing the whole ESPN graphics department after the bowl game announcements.
Okay, how so? Why?
Well, when I am, first of all, I'm a born and bred true South Carolinian, and I bleed Clemson orange. But when they announced the South Carolina-Michigan Outback Bowl, they put the South Carolina State Bulldog up there under South Carolina's name instead of their iconic Gamecock.
You're kidding. No.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't see that. That is a disaster.
That's crazy. Thanks, man.
Epic trash job.
I could understand if it was South Carolina State and they put the Gamecock up there. I can't understand the opposite reaction there. You're working in sports graphics. How can you not just zoom through the Division I programs? Oh, that's awful. Rudy's in Buffalo listening on CBS Sports Radio's 1270. What's up, Rudy?
Hey, what's going on? I love your show.
Thanks,
I just
sir.
Wanted to say I totally agree with you with are you going to sports bar and the bartender or whoever's controlling the TVs gets the attitude when you're trying to get a specific game on. I've been there. I've seen it. It's the truth. And I'm in Western New York, so I'm trashing two certain sports bars because they can only put on one game on 100 TVs, and they're all on the same game except for one.
Someone just got trashed.
Thank you, Rudy. I don't want to feel uncomfortable asking at a sports bar or a bar with sports on TV, like changing the TV to a game is some huge ask. Like I'm asking for them to do my molecular biology homework. I want to feel comfortable like they would be in control of this situation. Yes, I know that game is on. I know what channel that game is. Even if it's just, hey, can you put this game on? I know what channel it's. I will tell you the channel. Be comfortable enough to be able to get that channel on TV. But the whole thing with like, well, I don't know how to work the TVs here. I mean, come on. I don't know what channel that is. It's just a guy. It's like every TV you've ever worked ever. You know when you go home and you hit guide and you go up or down? It's just like that. It's just, you're not at home. It's just a different remote. I don't, what is it, up? Is it down? I'm in the 500s now. Like, you've never done this before? More trashing's coming in via Twitter, DA on CBS. Joe tweeting, I'm trashing the NFL and the Monday night game between Gronk Sunday and all the headshots. The different set of rules that the NFL operates with, no wonder the game is a bleep show.
Someone just got trashed.
Blaine tweets, I would say trashing the Tennessee football program is beating a dead horse, but that dead horse continues to disappoint me.
Trashing is fun.
Steve Van Smack, trashing ignorant fantasy football guy who calls in seriously considering benching AJ Green for Mike Wallace, quote, because of the matchup.
Boom. Trashed.
Nothing worse than hearing fantasy football talk with problems that don't concern anybody but that guy. I can't believe radio stations do this. Can't believe it. It's like nobody has that same exact problem listening right now. Nobody. Like, who's ever called up a radio station and said, okay, well, I've got can you pick two of the three? And I've got a flex option between Stephon Diggs, Danny Amendola, and Jake Reed. And then I need a flex between Christian McCaffrey and Mark Ingram. And you're sitting in the car going, so do I. I've got that exact issue. I need advice on this.
Jake Reed, you playing fantasy football in 1998?
No. Who's the Reed I'm thinking about?
Jordan Reed.
Jordan Reed, yeah.
I thought we were going to throw back Vikings there.
Don't worry about him. He's always out.
Right. That's the problem I'm having. Michael tweets, I'm trashing any meteorologist who can send a man to the moon and track rockets and missiles, but they can't tell me if it's going to rain or not. Only job that you can be wrong 24/7 and still be employed.
Taking out the trash.
Tweet us on a Trash Tuesday, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS, and we will read them coming up here on the show. Plus, Cole Kublick is going to join us, SEC Network. Where do the Tennessee Volunteers go right now to finally get a head coach? We'll get Cole's take on it next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Open now for brunch.
Friend of the Da Show, NFL Network. Our good friend, Steve White. Steve, good morning.
D to the A. Thanks for having me back in your dojo, man.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
22 minutes past the hour. A reminder, you can always watch the show on your phone or mobile friendly at watchda.com. The simulcast going on as we speak each and every day, 9 until noon, right here on CBS Sports Radio, 9 until noon Eastern Time. Also take us with you on the go using the CBS Sports app, the TuneIn app, the Radio.com app, or Apple Music. And if you missed any shows or want to hear them again, simply go to iTunes, download DA CBS. You'll see full episodes there. On a Trash Tuesday, Ryan tweets, I'm trashing people who put fake reindeer horns in their car. No one thinks it's a real reindeer, dude. This trend is dead. Just stop. You look stupid.
You're so trashy.
Are people still doing this? Yeah, that's a bad look. That's a real bad look. Joining us here on the show as we talk about college football this morning is our good friend from the SEC Network, Cole Kublick. Cole, good morning.
I remember I had one aunt that used to do the antlers on the vehicle, and she had a Ford Taurus, which back in the day was like the worst vehicle you could own also. So your antlers on a Ford Taurus was about as bad a look as you could get. She did it every year.
It's like a Dumb and Dumber spinoff.
Not good.
So, what do you think? Committee get it right?
I think they did. As far as the four teams go, if I was allowed to make any changes, it would probably be at number one. I think when you go down the resume of Georgia and look at the way Georgia handled their opponents this year, I would have been okay with them being number one. I think also right now, Oklahoma's the hottest team in the country. Even with what Clemson's done the last few weeks, I think they may have deserved the number one spot. Not really mad at Clemson being number one. I think let's take the biggest strike that we have against each team. For me in Oklahoma, it's going to be there's three teams on your schedule that want to combine two football games. You had a zero-win team and 2 1-win teams on your schedule. That hurts me a little bit. You look at Clemson, you lost to Syracuse. It's a 4-win football team. You look at Georgia, you lost at Auburn, a rivalry game, but you were obviously given the fortune to be able to play them again, and you owned them the second time around, so you made up for that. The rest of the way through, they were obviously perfect and handled their opponents the way that they should have. Alabama not winning their division, that's something that a lot of people have a problem with. I get it. I understand it. But for me, when you weigh those worsts for each team that's in, I think Oklahoma or Georgia maybe deserve to be number one, but I do think they got the four teams right.
I'm interested that you believe in Oklahoma. The narrative all season has been that they play no defense. They play in the Big 12. Eventually, they'll get theirs. Do you believe that their defense is actually better than people would suggest?
No. I'm not going to sit here and try to pretend that Oklahoma plays good defense and that they're going to win this thing because of defense. They have a chance to win it because their defense is better than some people believe. Their defense isn't good, they're not great. And the big problem for them is they're going to run in potentially to a couple teams that can go right at them, Georgia being one of them. And this is not a very heavy defensive front that Oklahoma brings to the table. So that means they're going to have to stack the box, and a little bit more might go on Jake Fromm. But he's proven down the stretch that he can make some throws down the field. And I thought Jim Chaney had a masterful game plan against Auburn to be able to just absolutely have an all-out assault on the perimeter to widen that Auburn defense out and then attack the middle of that defense a little bit later. It's a bad matchup defensively for Oklahoma, which most teams in the country would when your defense doesn't play well. But physically, I think it's even more of a poor matchup for Oklahoma. But the reality is, Danny, they're going to beat people because they can score, because they have the best football player in the country in Baker Mayfield. Now, this deal with Rodney Anderson could be a little bit interesting because I do think they're a different football team if he doesn't play. He's been dynamic the last 7 weeks of the season, averaging almost 7 yards per carry with 9 touchdowns. But Oklahoma's going to outscore you. And there's just not a lot of teams, I think, number one, that understand how to implement a plan in every facet of their team to slow the game down. And then number two, are patient enough to stick with that plan. And that's how you're going to have to knock Oklahoma off in this playoff.
Cole Kublick, SEC Network, joining us here on the show. Has Tennessee permanently tarnished its image?
It's going to be a while. They have for a while. And I think not even when you say that, a lot of your listeners are just immediately what comes to mind is, well, they offered it to Dave Doran. And then obviously they had this social media uprising to try and keep Greg Schiano from getting the job. I think it goes further than that. The fact that your athletic director is out trying to do his job and people are defending the move to fire him because he wasn't in agreement with a guy that used to coach there that's being hired as a consultant, and then he overthrows him and all of a sudden sits on the throne and becomes the new athletic director. I mean, the insensual behavior of the Tennessee athletic program is embarrassing, and I do think that this thing will have a blemish on their mark for a while. I don't know if it's going to last for 20, 30 years, but for the foreseeable future, I think Tennessee is going to be a tough job for people to take, and it's going to be a tough job for people who don't maybe have a special place in their heart for that program or someone involved in that program to take that job.
So I actually liked the hire of Mike Leach had it gone through, and I'm uncomfortable with Philip Fulmer getting to this position the way that he did, but it feels like a lot of Tennessee fans feel the opposite. They didn't want Mike Leach, and they know Philip Fulmer. He's obviously an iconic person in Knoxville, and so they like where this has gone. Is it possible, though, that this was 0-for-2 in what Tennessee did?
Absolutely. And it's weird that you say that about the fans. And Tennessee fans are the same way with T. Martin. They all want T. Martin. They're so excited about potentially getting T. Martin as a head coach. He doesn't have head coaching credentials. And the thing about the Greg Schiano hire is Tennessee fans want me to believe that it had nothing to do with Penn State and he's not a good coach and they didn't want to bring him in as a good coach. And I'll let you make that argument because I didn't think Greg Schiano as a coach was a really good fit at Tennessee. I didn't think that thing would have worked out. But if that's what you want to tell me, that that's the case, but you want to bring in T. Martin, you're too good for Greg Schiano, but you're telling me you want T. Martin to be your head coach. I mean, you can't put those on the scale and they weigh out evenly. That doesn't make any sense. So I think when you look at where this thing's going and where this thing's heading, I'm with you. I think Mike Leach would have brought – I mean, look at the how teams score in the SEC East right now. Georgia is not built to score. Florida under Dan Mullen will score more points. South Carolina is not a team that's built around offense. Missouri is. Vanderbilt's definitely not. So, I mean, you got a chance to do some things. If you can put points on the board in the East, you got a chance to finish towards the top of the division just based on your offense. And not to mention Mike Leach brings some personality and a legitimate resume from a head coaching experience perspective. So I don't really know what the direction is now. And I do believe that there's a good chance that it's 0-for-2 because I think that when you begin to bring in the good old boy network, that doesn't always work. I mean, how many schools across the country can we look at that make a living on that good? Listen, I went to Auburn, and I get it. And there's a lot of that going on there still. And a lot of it disgusts me, and I think a lot of it holds the program back in many ways. So there's just not a lot of college football programs that we can look at and say, oh, yeah, they just lean on the good old boy network 15, 30, 40 years ago, and it's better for the program. There's not many examples that end up being better for your program.
It's well put. Cole Kublik joins us from the SEC Network. Jimbo Fisher at A&M, that's a tough division and a tough conference, but, boy, they got deep pockets. And they have a desperation to win. Can Jimbo get it done there?
I think it depends on your definition of getting it done. Because, you know, you look at the scary part for Jimbo should be, look what Kevin Sumlin did. Look what Texas A&M was before Kevin Sumlin. Kevin Sumlin was ascending. He was climbing. He was growing. He had the program headed in the right direction. Now, it didn't fit their expectation, which I call it the Nick Saban-Urban Meyer effect. A lot of people believe that their expectation is way out of whack, and it's just not what it should be. You're not going to be Alabama every year. You're not going to be contending for the college football playoff every single year. What Dabo's doing at Clemson is ridiculous. 7 straight 10-win seasons, that just doesn't happen in college football, and it's not going to happen to every single program. Texas A&M has every bit of ingredient in the kitchen to be able to cook a feast. Now, can Jimbo come in and do it? I think he has a chance to. He understands how to build a champion. He did it at Florida State. And a lot of people can say, hey, well, he just had Jameis Winston. Well, he had more than one good quarterback at Florida State. And if he understands how to get that position ready, he's got two good ones to choose from at Texas A&M right now. And I think that's going to be a top five roster talent-wise in the SEC going into next season. That can change a little bit depending on who stays and who goes from an NFL perspective. But they're going to be towards the top of the league, not just the division, the league, as far as talent top to bottom of that roster. So Jimbo can win games. But honestly, D.A., if the reality of the expectation is for him to win multiple championships, I'm not going to say that I really believe that that's going to happen.
I think you're right. Cole Kublick joins us here on the D.A. Show on CBS Sports Radio. Before I let you go, I want to let you know I went down to Auburn, went down to the Plains for the Georgia game a couple of weeks ago. Me and my couple of buddies do our college football bucket list road trip every year. I had never been to Jordan-Hare. That was, if not the best, one of the best in-game experiences I have ever been to. And now, obviously, it was a big game, and they won, and it was a great party. But my goodness, when that Eagle swoops in, and that pregame hype video, and seeing those fans go crazy, those 3.5 hours were as special inside a stadium as I have ever been to. It was an amazing, amazing weekend.
It's a great place. And I've had some people, Alabama fans, call into my show recently and tweeted me recently about that they believe that Auburn might have the biggest home field advantage in college football. Now, even as an Auburn grad, an Auburn alum, I'm kind of like, LSU, the Swamp, Tennessee. And I always say the best home field advantage depends on where you are as a program. Now, you caught Auburn with a chance to play their way into the college football playoffs. So there's some really good things happening with that program right now. You give me LSU back in 2003, 2005, when they're rolling at night on a Saturday, that's probably the toughest place to play in the country. Go to Gainesville under Urban or Spurrier when they're rolling, that's a very difficult place to play. So I do think it rotates. I mean, I played in Tennessee in 1999 in Knoxville, the year they won a national championship. I couldn't hear a damn thing when we went out to take the first snap in that game. It was so loud. So I do think it sort of rotates a little bit. But then I got to thinking, I'm like, wow, Auburn goes to LSU. They don't look very good. They go to Clemson. They don't look very good. They go to the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta for the championship game and don't look very good. So maybe there's something to that. And Jordan-Hare Stadium is one of, if not the biggest home field advantage in college football.
Yeah, man, that is just 3.5 hours of juice and electricity and intensity, and it was awesome. Follow Cole Kublick on Twitter, at Cole Kublick. That's very easy. Watch him on the SEC Network as well, and check him out online everywhere that he is social media-wise, and listen to his show as well. Cole, it's always great, man, to catch up with you. Thanks so much, brother.
Anytime. Look forward to doing it again soon.
Cole Kublick joining us here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we return, the 12 DAs of Christmas, the next one out, the first four out, the great cookie caper. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
Ernie Johnson, host of TNT's award-winning Inside the NBA.
Beam me up, DA.
You got it.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Sign up to be an O Rewards member today. Start earning instantly. O Rewards members earn $5 back for every 150 points you earn. Fast, easy, free only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. We have our Off the Air show, our permission granted podcast, the show about the show, every single week. Go to iTunes and search that, find that. We'll tweet it out, put it on Facebook as well. Go behind the scenes of the DA show as we prepare for the 12 DAs of Christmas coming your way, starting on Friday with the number 12. Jim is in Missouri on a Trash Tuesday, listening on CBS Sports Radio's 92.1. Jim, who are you trashing?
Well, before I get to my trash, I wanted to say something to Maraz.
Yeah.
About this gender reveal party.
Right.
Man up and say no if you don't want to go. You know, I'm busy.
Yeah, but don't make excuses.
I double dog dare him to take a box of birth control as a present. But anyway, I'm trashing Christmas or people that give up on Christmas when they become adults and they say Christmas is for kids because they're too lazy to go shopping for presents or even send out cards. And they put up a token 2-foot-tall crappy tree and a strand of lights on it. And they mostly go around to Christmas dinner parties and stuff themselves.
Well, it's trash.
Hot trash.
I feel like Jim is talking directly to me right now. Directly to me. Looking into my soul and saying, D.A., you Grinch, start shopping. Stop procrastinating. Get that little dopey tree off of your kitchen table that's like 2 feet tall. and stop griping. Stop complaining. And Mraz, man up, as Jim in Missouri would, and either say, I'm not coming, or go, and don't lie, and don't make excuses.
I'm not going. Putting the foot down.
You're putting the foot down.
I'm not going. I am absolutely not going. I'm going to Chick-fil-A, and I'm watching the Rangers Penguins. I'm staying home.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll see how Danielle feels about that.
Oh, she already got out of it.
She's out of it?
Scheduled two late meetings today so that not to go because she thinks gender reveals are stupid.
Oh, so then why do you have to go?
Because technically it's my cousin, not her cousin. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, she was like, I want no part of this.
Well, good for her.
Yeah, she's always one step ahead of me. I get buried behind.
Yeah. She's smart. She actually scheduled something. You're just looking to lie your way out of
right,
it.
Right. She's legitimately working. I'm lying.
Big Games, Freddie Big Games, tweeting, DA, I'm trashing the GM, me, of my fantasy team for drafting a hideous roster and making the play and missing the playoffs. Hashtag, I ain't still no dog.
Must be Trash Tuesday.
I ain't still no dog.
I ain't still no dog.
Dog.
Steve Vance Mack tweets, I'm trashing otherwise healthy fat people who believe the electric carts for the handicapped are for them.
Epic trash job.
Yeah, I mean, you really got to put your conscience in your back pocket at that point, right? You're like, I know I'm just fat, but I deserve one of these too. I mean, yeah, I'm not an amputee, but I think I deserve one of these as well. Chad tweets, I'm trashing bad dads. I don't understand how two of the three Ball brothers are not playing in-season hoops. It doesn't make any sense.
Trash Tuesday is fun for everyone.
Sean tweets, I'm trashing the new Mercedes owner that takes up two parking spots.
Trashing is fun.
Hate two parking spot guy. Hate him. Tyler tweets, I'm watching YouTube videos on the people that climb on those fences with signs that read, don't climb or hang on the fence, you'll get blown by a powerful jet engine.
You're so trashy.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. I guess there's some rush that comes with seeing the planes land that close to you. I think this is in South America somewhere, Central America somewhere. Thanks, but no thanks. I don't need to be anywhere near jet engines. I don't even like being on the plane with the jet engines under me, let alone under the jet engines. No thanks. Josh tweets, I want to trash daylight savings time. Being in Arizona and not observing daylight savings, I'm now missing parts of your show that I normally enjoy.
You've been trashed.
Oh, that's problematic. We need to talk to the daylight savings time people. Ravens O. Steve tweets, people who drive with their flashers on for safety reasons, for the love of that, all is safe. You cannot signal for any directional change with flashers on. Bad weather flasher drivers are idiots. And now trash.
Taking out the trash.
Dylan tweets, I'm trashing the NFL claims that they don't want NFL play like last night, yet put that game on in prime time because they knew that type of play would be televised and still draw huge numbers.
You're so trashy.
Oh, I like that take. A hypocrisy take. I'm always in on a good hypocrisy take. Always. That's a good one. Courtney, who is the first lady of Trash Tuesday, she's always got a good one for us. I'm trashing my coworker who uses the office bathroom as her own private kitchen. She washes her dishes there, leaves food scraps in the sink, and leaves the dishes on the counter to dry all day. Even worse, she only removes them when she uses the lukewarm bathroom. What about that bathroom water? What about that says sanitary? I'm also trashing Gronk, and I'm glad he got what he deserved. Or did he? Hashtag Bills Mafia.
Hot trash.
Well done, Courtney, as always. I love these trashings coming in. Nice job, everybody. Let's get to your 12 DAs of Christmas today. First four out.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. Counting down the weirdest, craziest, and downright most mothershipping moments of the year. The 12 DAs of Christmas to all, and to all, a good night.
Wow, okay, so let me ask you, Mr. Six.
From what I heard, it was a little bit more of spitting that happened.
Mraz, you spit on somebody?
I was talking very loudly.
Oh,
and
my God. You're kidding me.
I'm Roberto Alomar, all right? It's in my past.
Your honorable Uncle Futrelli is bringing the robe out of the closet. DA, this is unacceptable that we have unaccounted for and unpresent staff members due to a little mini nor'easter. I can't have it.
Well, a couple of years ago, I read that you had suggested that maybe you had created a monster in Paul Simon. Do you still feel a couple of years later that way?
I'm not so interested in.
He ate something that comes out of the dog's wrong side, and he ate it and then admitted it.
And I thought I had dropped the chocolate chip on the ground, so I rushed to pick it up and pop it in my mouth to save the dog from instant death, instead only to realize that taste was not the chocolate. It was a long morning for me.
The time is now.
First four out, the great cookie caper from April the 12th. Sham is next up in Oregon, listening on CBS Sports Radio's 1240. Hello, Sham.
Hey, I might get in trouble for this, but I work for the Keebler Cookie Company here.
Okay.
And I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but the Girl Scout cookies are actually made by a company called the Sunshine Cookie Company. And Keebler bought Sunshine Cookie Company probably about 15, 20 years ago. If you actually go into a grocery store and look at Keebler cookies, they are the exact same for half the price.
But hang on. I mean, do they have the same flavors? Like, does Keebler have a Thin Mint, a Tagalongs, a S'mores,
they
all
call
those?
The Thin Mint is called the Grasshopper. The Samoa is called the Coconut Dream because there was an agreement. Man, I'm going to get fired for this. But there was an agreement that the recipes were going to be held by the Girl Scouts for 25 years. After 25 years, Keebler Cadet can take that recipe and mass produce the cookie. So the cookies are the same size. However, the wire-cut trays, you are getting less cookies per box.
This is mind-blowing.
He's right about grasshoppers. Those bastards got us.
Are grasshoppers exactly the same as Thin Mints?
Now I'm picturing the taste in my mouth, and I think I just never thought about it because they trick you. You get Girl Scout cookies once a year for a month, so it's like, oh, okay, this tastes different. But now picturing eating a grasshopper in July, it's like eating a Thin Mint in March. The whole thing's a sham. And Sham was the caller that broke it. That's the Adam Schefter of cookies right there. He just dropped the biggest bomb in free agency. He's right. The Girl Scout cookies have screwed us and raked us over the coals, hiding behind the Keebler flag. I'm almost like disheartened right now by the Girl Scouts. They don't deserve to go on another trip again. Screw them. I'm sickened that I've entrusted these Girl Scouts with my cookie tastings. Fudge Shop Coconut. There's the Samoas.
Are we sure?
I'm looking at them. It's the same cookie. It's the same freaking cookie. Come on, man. Hold on. Here we go. The El Fudge Deluxe Stuffed. Those are the s'mores. You're just adding a layer of marshmallow. The grasshoppers are the Thin Mints.
Thin Mints are the grasshoppers. Finkel is Einhorn.
Einhorn is a man.
You got to see the picture of coconut, Keebler coconut dreams. I just can't get over. Like, we've all been robbed as a society. So what? They could fake a trip to Disney World? Do any of these kids even end up going? Or is it just going to these moms in their freaking fanny packs? Stupid, corrupt America.
Oh, my God. The great cookie caper of April the 12th that we broke the story on. That was our E60 real sports moment here on the DA Show. Time for your epic fail, the hypocrisy of the DA Show.
Even the DA Show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
I get on the 12 items or less line.
Sure.
And the dude in front of me, I counted, he's got 17.
Ooh.
This is a problem that goes on everywhere that has to be ended.
You can deal with 13, even 14, but 17 is too much.
You can. I can.
That's
very,
a plus four. That's
very
a plus five.
Simple. Plus one is an issue.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Plus one's an issue.
Someone's got to be in charge here. And to me, it's the person at the register. As you're going through and you go, this is a lot, you got to say, sir, next time you can't be on this line.
So shame him.
Shame him. And I was in a bad mood because I was missing football. I almost said something as he left. I wanted to be like, you know, he had 17 things.
What does 18-14 mean?
You'd be totally fine with somebody online with 30 items and the 12 or less?
Maybe not 30, but guess who in this room always goes to the 12 or less with 17 items or 20 items?
That would be you.
Yeah. Didn't take long to guess that.
Sean Marash?
Sean Marash.
DA producer.
That's it. If I see an open register, I'm getting in, getting out.
Well, because, I mean, the thing with you, Mraz, is that you don't really respect other people's needs. It's always about you. You're a very self-involved individual, and you feel like you can bend the rules at all costs.
I mean, I'm not going to disagree with that take.
All right, that's something.
So that's what we've seen these stains, the coffee stains in the bathroom sink, right? It's disgusting.
I don't get it. I don't get why you treat it like your personal kitchen. It's the same because these people are shaving there too.
These people are lazy.
Enough.
They don't believe in other people's
guilty
cleanliness. You spill your coffee in there?
No, I clean out my cereal bowl in there.
Ew!
Yeah.
What?
Nasty, snacky.
Can't you just go a couple more feet down the...
I'm out.
Offensive.
Yeah, that's, you know, never complain about people still walking again.
Listen.
Disgusted.
Him, I'll listen to. You, not so much.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
More trash is Bernie tweets, trashing those people who can't BS their way past the cashier into believing it's on clearance, only to leave their heap of Godiva chocolate bars and candles in the wake for us poor souls in retail. Hashtag holiday cheer. These were great trashes. I wish I could get to more of these. I think I'll post some of these on Facebook because they were really good today. Thanks to Sean Mraz, the executive producer, Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. And Andrew Kaplan on your simulcast today at watchda.com.
The body.
Yeah. We'll see you tomorrow. Katie Linendahl in studio with us tomorrow with gift ideas. Be good and be good to one another. The Mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.